Well, you know, corn has been great for Iowa. But imagine, as far as the horizon, every way you turn, rows, nay, legions climbing every hill, marching through every valley, a bounty of Waterloo Wowie, Sioux City Sativa, Cascade Cannabis, Grundy, get out of here. Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Tim Crumley on drums, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know? We revisit our trip to Des Moines, Iowa with Trip Gabriel of the New York Times, plus all the Des Moines news that isn't, and a free-range round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who says the last thing he remembers is the El Bait Shop, Michael Feldman!
Oh, yeah, I thought it was a bait shop. Very kind of you. I thought it was a bait shop. I said, let's go to El Bait. Okay, I can use some bait. And but it wasn't, so I don't know what it was, to tell you the truth. I'd have trouble reconstructing the evening. It was good now. Anyway, so I guess you didn't like my idea of replanting them cornfield. And it's good to rotate crops anyway, you know. Do a little pot there, you know, a couple of years, and plow it under after you smoke it. And then I'm just thinking out loud here. Plus, you know, cannabis, ethanol, would be high octane. Nice to see you, Des Moines. Thank you for having us here. It's great to see you. Well, thank you for coming out. And I mean, it's great to see you, and I'm not saying that as a man who wants anything from you. Least of all, your vote. Your vote is a precious thing. Keep it. Don't give it to anybody, I say. I mean, I'm going to run for it. Look at this face. I'm going to run. Who would vote for that? And if I had a helicopter, I would not take your kids for rides in it, I'll tell you. That's the one promise I will make for you. How creepy is that, anyhow? There's a guy with an old guy with a blonde bozo hair wants to give your kids a ride in his Sikorsky. Red flags. Sounds like a torchlight parade is in order. I would like to apologize for Scotty Walker. He's not supposed to leave the state. Yeah, you can applaud. We got to live with it. Come on. The ankle bracelet is supposed to go off at Dubuque if he gets that far. So he's in sixth place now. So no playoffs for Scotty, looks like. So, besides, look at that face. You know, in Donald Trump's defense, he did say, look at that face while shaving. And it was misconstrued. He's got a good sense of humor. That woman at the fair let her pull his hair, you know? It's just unfortunate his head came off. But it was attached. The hair was attached. Rick Santorum deserves some credit. All 99 counties barefoot and bleeding while flagellating himself. That was quite a... That's a first. Pretty sure that's a first. The Santorum Stations of the Cross. I think that's not been done before. Rick Perry's staff down to one in Iowa, and he's nowhere to be found. Got one guy, can't find him. Mike Huckabee is rethinking his pro-slavery position. That was an unusual take, I think. Or maybe he's thinking about it for the first time. I don't know, you know, that Huck. Oh, boy, that boy Huck. Bobby Jindal proposed an alternative to Planned Parenthood called a shot-in-the-dark parenthood. It's what Mom and Dad did. It's good enough for them. Shot-in-the-dark parenthood. Okay, Ted Cruz has been ramping up the immigration thing. He wants now to deport everyone in the order they came. So the reason is the Cruises will be the last to go. Pretty smart. Cruz went to Harvard, you know, at one point. I thought Ben Carson's brain surgery at the fair really stole the show. That was the best thing ever at the Iowa State Fair. But you've got to give Don Trump credit for not missing a beat during the whole procedure. It was not successful. I'm not saying it was successful, but I'm saying he didn't, you know. No difference that we can see. I thought Jeb Bush's fastball was pretty good, but the man sorely needs a changeup. Kasich eating 3 pork chops in 30 minutes, and then Christie eating 1 Kasich in 10. That was good. Made a big deal about the Rubio football to the head of a 4-year-old. But the fact is, if it was a 14-year-old, it would have been much worse, I think. You know, they get tall by 14. And okay, anyway. Hillary has a new strategy in Iowa. She's going to try to win it. Feeling the burn right now, I guess. She is. Losing to the last living socialist is kind of embarrassing. You know, that. You can't rub two socialists together anymore. Bernie Sanders is doing so well because an old Jew is still a novelty in Iowa. Well, look how clean. He looks so clean. Very clean looking. Let's see. Young ones are a novelty, too. That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. Joe, and I'm not that either, am I? Come to think of it. Joe Biden showing indications of running. He's been kissing babies, some as old as 23 or 24. We were all babies once to Joe. And President himself, Obama, will be in Iowa on Monday, and he's dropping tantalizing hints. He may run for a third term as an independent under the name D's Nuts.
D's Nuts.
Under the name
D's Nuts.
Thank you. That's all the Iowa news it is, and thank you so much. Okay. D's Nuts. How many of you like that D's Nuts reference? Yes? Yeah, how many of you actually have the album? Anyone here have the album? You have the album? What album is that? Huh?
These Nuts is like cycling cream or something.
It's like what? Cycling cream? You didn't say that. No, you deny it. Anyone asked you, you didn't say that. Well, everybody who is mistakenly thinking they should be president now is tailgating at the Cyclones Hawkeyes Corn Bowl in Ames. Pretty good, though. 2 undefeated teams. 1-0 and 1-0, but still, one of them won't be when this is all over. And one man I bet has to beat it out over there pretty quick to cover it is the New York Times man in Iowa, Trip Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen, right now. Trip Gabriel. How are you?
Good.
Good. So now you're from New York, and Donald Trump is from New York. Do you think there's a little problem in sort of his, you know, the way he works with Iowa as opposed to Iowa Nice?
Well, I think, Trump is kind of testing the boundaries of Iowa Nice. He's a New York not so nice, and, yeah. So far it's going over pretty well here.
Yeah. So they think that he's humorous and everything. Is he making a good impression? I mean, that helicopter thing was a bit... I don't know Iowans that necessarily would bring a helicopter to a fair and give kids rides, because that would be a kind of showy thing to do.
Well, you know, the whole point of candidates coming to the state fair, and I think there were 10 or 12 of them this year, is to kind of demonstrate your common touch, that you're a man or woman of the people, and you walk around with it, and you eat a pork chop on a stick, and you glad hand lots of people. And the assumption is that cuts a lot of ice with Iowans, and Trump pretty much upended that. He did a flyby in his Trump-branded helicopter. He landed in a field nearby. I think he told a 10-year-old Iowa kid that he was Batman. And then when he actually arrived on the fairgrounds, you know, he had 6 or 8 security, and came like a kind of visiting head of state.
Yeah.
But that worked really well. So,
yeah.
You know, there's obviously an appeal to Donald Trump, and you know, it's one of the mysteries of his success is he's worth $10 billion, if you believe his financial disclosure filings, and maybe a few billion less than that if you're a little more skeptical.
Yeah.
And he's still very popular, you know, with working-class people, with people of, you know, who you wouldn't think necessarily would identify with a zillionaire for president.
Yeah. How are you personally faring from New York City, big city? Are you living here in Des Moines now? Or are you based
I have an apartment in Des Moines, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pretty much six of one, half dozen the other?
You know, if you ask me this week, I'm leaning toward Des Moines. It's a That was an easy one.
I'm trying to help here.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. All the amenities, you can get the New York Times, you said you get the Sunday Times and everything, so you're good.
You know, rumor has it that you can get the newspaper on print. In fact, rumor has it the newspaper still is printed.
Yeah.
We don't see a whole lot of copies out here.
Yeah. What was the idea behind, has this been done before, where they actually put a man in for the caucuses, like, since January, right?
I've been here since late January. In fact, since the Republicans had an event, you know, in this theater, and this is where sort of Scott Walker broke out by describing how, you know, he had endured, you know, tens of thousands of protesters at the Madison State House and threats to gut his wife like a deer.
That was one guy.
Memorable line was
that was one guy, and he was a hunter. That's so exaggerated.
But normally, you know, a national paper like ours assigns. Assigns reporters to individual candidates, and we follow them around. But I think this, I compare this, I don't know if you're a fisherman, but, you know, fishermen know that, you know, trout don't cruise all around the stream looking for their meal. They tend to hold behind a rock or a log, and they let the current bring the insects overhead, and then they jump out and they grab, you know, if you're a fly fisherman, you know about that. So I think this is the...
I don't get your analogy.
I'm working up to it.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Rather than cruising around the stream, I'm holding behind the rock, you know, that is Des Moines, and the current is bringing all the candidates, you know, right across the top here.
Wait a minute. Are you the fish?
I'm the fish, not the fisherman. Yes.
You're the fish. Okay.
We got a lot of Iowa fishermen, fisher people here. I can
say. Oh, now I get it. You're the fisherman, a fish, not the fisherman. Okay, that's where I was. What about all these packs? You know, I sort of get a kick out of. I have a list of them somewhere here. I don't know, every pack, and they all—I have some euphemism for a name. Here we got the Opportunity and Freedom Pack. That's a big one for—that's Rick Perry's. He's about opportunity and freedom. We got Believe Again, Bobby Jindal. In case you weren't believing, or you believed once. Concerned American Voters. That's Rand Paul, and they have a right to be concerned. I would say, Right to Rise, the Jeb Bush one. It's just the names of these things. I mean,
he's having a tough time living up to that.
It sounds like the Doughboy.
That name.
It sounds like the Doughboy. It sounds like Pillsbury would have him. Right to Rise. Yeah. Generation Forward Pack, Club for Growth. That's Huckabee. Unintimidated, of course, is the
that's
best.
A pretty inside joke, dude. A lot of
what?
People get that. The,
what
the Club for Growth Pack is Huckabee?
No, I didn't even get it.
Oh. Club for Growth. Is opposed to Mike Huckabee. It's a very anti-tax independent group.
Oh, yeah, it says anti. I'm sorry, I didn't get that. Yeah.
But that's okay. All right.
Does he have a pack?
He does have a pack, yes.
Is it a double-wide trailer pack?
You know, the name escapes me because as you're demonstrating there, they're all such interchangeable, nonsensical names.
Yeah. Well, because the Freedom's Defense Fund is anti-Hillary Clinton, so that's... That would be Freedom's Defense, apparently. I've noticed some of these things don't make a lot of sense. And the money that goes... Of course, Iowa made something like $4 million so far. Just...
Shh. You're not supposed to be exposing that particular secret about the caucuses.
Okay. Why? Is that your job, or what?
No. If I understand, so you said Iowa's made about $4 million so far?
Yeah.
That's the money that the campaigns and the news media and
lavish upon
and radio shows, you know, spend when they come to cover this caucus process over the length
well,
of the
debate
year.
Shop we dropped quite a few bucks. So,
you know, Iowa would not like to pass that $4 million on to
Well, you got to justify
Colorado or New Hampshire.
Yeah, right.
Another state that might want to go first in line in terms of voting.
Yeah, you got to justify all the mayhem and just the crop damage alone from these guys tramping through, pretending, you know, they can hug a piglet or something in a factory farm. They don't do many. They used to do hugging piglets more, I noticed, years ago before they got these factory pig cities. Because what, are you going to wade through that to grab a piglet there somewhere in the factory? It's not a good photo op like it used to be.
It's funny, and I've been in Iowa now for about 8 months, and I think it's the largest hog producing state in the country. I mean, but all I've seen are pork chops. I mean, I haven't actually seen the porkers. I don't know where you're
keeping them. The end result is great. The end result is great. And why would they put them on a stick? They're already on a stick. I never get that about them. They're built that way. So what have you did? Any major discoveries? Were you originally signed to do Scott Walker? Was that thinking?
No, that was an add-on. I came to Des Moines to cover the whole caucus process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I also sort of inherited or picked up Governor Walker as somebody to report about, particularly to follow him. So, you know, he's here a lot. It's a neighboring state. You can drive from to Madison from Des Moines in five kind of torturous hours.
Yeah, we just made it coming in. Yeah,
yeah, if you have to, but yeah.
If you get lost, all it is cornfield. You don't know where the hell you are. You know, yeah, go right by the cornfield there. There's a silo. Right, sure. And turn right there, and turn right, and turn right again, and you're back where you started. But how is he screwed up so badly, Scott Walker?
That's a really good question. I mean, you know, after he, you know, the reputation that the governor had, you know, before he kind of came to Iowa earlier in the year, was that, you know, he was sort of a boring speaker, or, you know, Iowans knew about his policies. I mean, the local news here, you know, the local news from Madison, you know, sort of broadcast his success in the recall election, his defeat of protesters in 2011. But you know, when he finally spoke in Iowa, he gave a very forceful speech that impressed, especially, you know, the conservative base, the Republican voters here in the state, and he was at 25% in the polls in February, I think, and you know, this week he's down to about 3%. Lots of great explanations for that.
Yeah. So the message is not getting out, or did the message get out about him?
You know, I think Donald Trump ate his lunch, people are saying. You know, he's been on three sides of every two-sided issue. people have noticed, and
yeah. And then Trump took after him. That was sort of the curtains.
He did. In fact, I think one of the more memorable appearances by Donald Trump was in Oskaloosa, Iowa. So it was in July, I guess. And Trump was still trailing Scott Walker here in the state, and he sort of called out to, you know, about 1,000 people or 500 people in the crowd there. He said, please, you know, make me number one in Iowa. I just really want to beat up on Scott Walker. The people responded, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much so. I think, you know, no, I don't think I'm speaking out of what do you speak out of?
Out of school?
Out of school.
Out of turn?
I don't think I'm speaking out of any of those things to say that. Back in Milwaukee, we never in Wisconsin, we didn't consider him to be a great speaker. Or right. Really to have a personality at all. You know, I mean, it's sort of a liability, I guess, for a candidate. You go out and you really don't have much of a personality to try to project that. I've done it for years myself, but
he has had his moments. I mean, at the state fair, since we were talking about that earlier, you speak publicly. They call it the soapbox. It's a traditional kind of outdoor speaking platform, and he was pretty aggressively heckled. And there was a group of folks that came down from Milwaukee who were heckling him, and Walker, responded in kind, you know, very forcefully
by plugging his book. Unintimidated.
Yes, I think that word did come up a few times, but
several times. I bet they planted those guys. I honestly think they did.
Well, his
he really wanted to show that he could be unintimidated.
His state manager said he would after that to me. He said, "Well, I would have paid for those folks to be there."
Would have, as opposed to I did. Okay, that's. The caucuses are kind of unique in terms of a political primary.
There's absolutely no rhyme or reason for the caucuses or for their primacy, you know, as the first voting competition in the nominating race. But, you know, they're here and to paraphrase Trump, deal with it.
Yeah. But I mean, how did they start? And was it a Democratic sort of like neighborhood kind of way of approaching a primary or?
You know, you're stumping my knowledge. Oh. But I know that they became, you know, in the Democratic Party, they were. The National Party changed its rules back in the early 70s so that the Iowa caucuses came first in the calendar. Mm-hmm. And, and then, like, no one had ever heard of the peanut farmer from Georgia in 76, Jimmy Carter, and he visited, you know, camped out in Iowa for a year and won the caucuses, and that sort of demonstrated that this was the place to be.
Yeah. You know, did Santorum win last year? Didn't Santorum win last? Did he win?
He won in 2012, although it was a weird night. Initially, the Republican Party counted wrong and declared Mitt Romney the winner, and Santorum has been angry about that for 4 years.
Yeah, and Hillary doesn't really seem to be having the common touch. Would you say?
No, I wouldn't say that she's not having the common touch. I think she's actually succeeding at having the common touch, but it's a tough, she's got a tough row to hoe here.
Yeah, because she did wait in line for her pork chop, I noticed. That was pretty good, you know, but still, is that enough to lead the greatest nation on earth? That you'll wait for a pork chop? I don't know. The Sanders thing has got her flummoxed, obviously.
No question about it. Yeah,
this comes out of nowhere. Have you dealt with him at all? His people? Or?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
No, what have you discovered?
I was in Davenport, which, if you're not familiar with the geographic kind of layout of Iowa, is on the eastern side by the Mississippi River, and I just happened to be there for another candidate, and I said, "Oh, Bernie Sanders is coming to Iowa." This was a few months ago. I'll go see what he has to say. Mm-hmm. And I thought there'd be about 25 or 30 people. It was at a university there, and 700 people showed up. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. A very early indication of, you know, the huge popular grassroots interest in Senator Sanders.
How do you account for that? By what you've seen, or don't you?
You know, after covering
Iowa... Is it like
being
a fish and having the bugs floating over?
I actually didn't know there were any Democrats in Iowa because I was here the first time in 2011, and there was, of course, no Democratic competition since we had an incumbent president. But so I spent a lot of time talking to very, very conservative Republicans. And what you learn about Iowa is there's also a whole lot of Democrats, and they're also... And they lean liberal. You know, this is this is a great state for Bernie Sanders. It was a great state for Barack Obama for similar reasons.
Yeah, not so great for Hillary.
It's
at that point.
She is.
Wasn't that the turning point for her? Where she lost to Iowa
in 2008?
Yeah,
it wasn't the turning point, but it was a shock and it was a wake up call. I mean, she went on to do pretty well in New Hampshire, but you know. Most politicians are generals who fight the last war. Mrs. Clinton decided that, you know, what went wrong in 2008 was she wasn't on the ground enough. She didn't have enough meet and greets with voters in coffee shops and in living rooms, and so she is doing that in spades this cycle in Iowa. She's got, I think she's got 75 organizers here to kind of reach out and build. You know, the secret of doing well in the caucuses, or one of the secrets, is you can't just expect people to show up on caucus night. It's an unusual commitment. It's not like going to vote in a primary that just takes a few minutes out of your day. So the folks that show up are, you know, the most activist, kind of stalwart members of both parties.
And
so Mrs. Clinton is building a network of, you know, volunteers. You know, there's 1,600-plus precincts. She wants to saturate organizers all over the counties and the precincts. Mm-hmm. At least that's the that's the traditional rule book.
Yeah,
and we'll see if it
has she set up an email server in Iowa. Or... come on, look at this face. That was avoidable. That's unbelievable, really, when you think about it. That wasn't observed in the beginning. That's probably was not a good way to go as far as email.
I would think that was a conversation that, you know, yeah. the first time that came up, someone would have said, why do we want to do this?
Yeah.
And I think, I guess she's never said why, but I think we all, you know, in our minds can imagine why.
Yeah, now so, we can. I guess all we hear.
And then the second question would have been, but this will all come out.
Yeah.
And how will it look?
Well, it took the pressure off Benghazi, so that's good. Benghazi on email and you're done, you know.
Right.
Whatever that was all about. Physically, just for how caucuses work, can anyone go to the caucuses and cast a vote?
Anyone who's registered to vote. And Iowa is a party, a state which you register by party.
And what do you go to, somebody's house or something? I mean, where are they? I really don't understand.
No.
Is it county by county?
The myth or the folklore is that these are very intimate gatherings in church basements and people's living rooms. You know, in reality, they tend to be in schools or the Unidome up in northern Iowa. It gets thousands of people in it. So,
you can't go as an independent to the primary.
Correct.
You register in advance.
Although you can change your, as I understand, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, you can change your party registration, right up to the date if you want to, participate in a Operation Chaos, as Rush Limbaugh would call it.
Yeah. So you could register if you wanted to be anti-Hillary. You could register. Well, this time of the year. Yeah.
Okay. And I think, this voter has just demonstrated why the caucuses tend to, both parties prefer the most ideologically kind of driven candidates because they are the people that tend to show up are stalwarts and they're conservative on the Republican side and they're quite liberal on the Democratic side. I mean, it's much easier to stay at home and watch TV than it is to go out on a cold night, in January or February and spend a bunch of hours, with people that you may or may not like or know and, have to talk about, your political... I mean, it's uncomfortable to talk about politics, in at dinner parties, but here you have to talk about them with, neighbors and semi-strangers and people you don't really want to hang out with anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you have a lot
It's quite a commitment.
Do you have a lot of dinner parties in Iowa? I don't know. Probably call them something else, barbecues or something. Tripp, I want to thank you. Are you going up now to the game and watch them tailgate?
I'm not a huge football fan, but I gather the tailgating started last night. I was up there earlier. so the game is not till 4 o'clock or 4:30 this afternoon, but I'm rushing up.
And is Trump tailgating off his helicopter or not?
Trump has a blue bus, which is in a parade up in Boone this morning, and then he is going to be arriving, at the stadium, sort of midday.
Yes. Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see whether that bus can get through the traffic, and we'll really see how much clout Donald Trump has.
Coming up later today. Thanks, Tripp Gabriel from the New York Times. Thank you. Tripp Gabriel, New York Times. There, man. Oh, I killed that fly. Oh, my. Quick, where's a fish? Oh, there's a fly, and he just was asking for it. Right there on my legal pad. Tripp Gabriel. Man, if you haven't read the columns, they're very good. A lot of them are funny, but they get a lot of Iowan people in there, and you get to see what it's like. So that's a good thing, is what I'm saying. All right, feel like playing a little number here? We got our band here, and we've got...
Yeah, let's play some.
Tim Crumley, local boy, makes good on the drums. And, of course, John Tulin on the piano. Jeff Hammond on the bass. What do you know? Trio.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Oh, I'm going to go down here. Oh, yeah. Don't worry. I won't trip over your purse. I will not trip over your purse. I'll trip over my own feet. This is my usual thing. How are you?
Good.
Important stuff in that purse?
Nothing much.
Anything worth tripping over?
No.
Care if I look through it?
You can.
Oh, thank you. Isn't that nice? You let me look through her purse. That's a wonderful one. And your name is?
Elise.
Hi, Elise. How are you?
I'm good.
Not going to the game?
No. Not Iowa State, not Iowa. Drake Bulldogs.
The Drayton Bulldogs. Good. Do they have a football team?
Women's basketball.
Women's basketball.
Awesome. Awesome.
Awesome. The awesome women's Bulldogs. Okay. Catherine Palin is a pastor, but I guess she knows that. Where is she? Oh, hi. Let's say hello then. You're not in uniform, are you? Okay. No, come on down here. Take a little time off. I know. What does a pastor do on a Saturday? Unless you're a Jewish pastor, I guess it's not working. Are you working on your sermon sometime today?
Just a prayer. Just a prayer for tonight.
Just a prayer for tonight?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. Do you have like a full-blown sermon coming up?
I'm not preaching this weekend.
You're not?
So, yeah.
No. Did you preach last weekend? You just go every other week or once?
We have a big staff, so I don't preach again until October 4th.
Whoa, that is a big staff. So you're saying if you want to be a pastor, look for a big staff. And you work like twice a year then.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
What was your last one? When was that?
The end of August, yeah.
End of August, and what was it?
Preached on how do we live our faith in the world. We were doing a series of questions that people submitted from the congregation. So yeah. That was my question.
And how did it go over? Pretty good?
Yeah, standing ovation both services.
Maybe you should find a faith that lets you work a little more often.
There you go.
Because you're big. It could be really big.
I could. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Are there ranks like in pastors? Can you like super pastor or pastor?
Depends on your tradition. Yeah, there are.
Okay.
Yeah.
And your question, what is your question here?
If you could recommend one new food on a stick item for the Iowa State Fair, what would it be?
How about a stick on a stick? And then you could stick it in whatever you wanted.
There you go. Great idea.
All right, well, thank you.
Thanks.
And from a pastor, ladies and gentlemen, I've been endorsed by Pastor Catherine Palin. Thank you for that. Julie Vogel of Johnston, Iowa. Oh, you're a scientist. Did you know that? Come on down here. Let's talk about your science. Doesn't say what kind of a scientist you are. A good one, I'm sure. But what kind of scientist are you?
I'm a plant scientist.
Plant scientist. Oh, it's a good scientist to be.
Yeah. Plants don't.
It's a growing field.
Plants don't talk. Plants don't talk back, and they don't cry.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite plant? Do you have a favorite certain plants?
Well, it's corn, of course.
Corn. Okay. But I mean, aside from corn. Did you work exclusively on corn? Maybe you do corn science?
Corn, soybean, you know, the usual.
Oh, you do? So you do like crop?
Crop science. Yeah, crop science.
Any advances in soybeans? You can't say, can you? Because, no, you're... But we can expect big things from soybeans, like self-harvesting soybeans.
Well, we're working on that, yeah. Okay.
Just hop in a hopper. Yeah. You know, put the hopper down and they just hop out of the... Like those, you know, fish waiting for those bugs to come. The soybeans are hopping in the hopper. They're a week ahead of last year in hopping.
I'll make a note of that. We'll work on that.
That's okay. More corn or more soybean?
More corn.
More corn.
Sure, but both. Yeah.
Are you employed by
one of those large companies? Yes.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Guess we can't talk about anything then, really. let's go to your question. What's your question?
Well, my question is, if your band could play anything that they want, what would they play?
So if our band could play, what would they play?
Yeah, well, No. If they wanted to play anything other than, you know, the great things we hear here, but if they had carte blanche.
Something really good.
Well, no.
Something classical, maybe?
Something fabulous. Something.
John, are you holding back on what you really want to be playing?
No, not really.
Yeah. You don't want it?
We don't play ballads usually on the show here.
What would you like to hear them play that they don't play?
I don't know. Something that's on the edge of their genre.
Something corny?
Sure. Okay.
Edge of your genre. Anything on the edge of your genre, John? I see something there.
The edge of my what? Oh.
All right. Well, we didn't get anywhere with this, but thank you.
Thank you very much.
Nice to meet you. That's Julie Vogel from Johnson, Iowa. How are we doing? Doing all right? Got some time? Yeah? Okay. David Borzo is an art teacher. Yeah? Okay, well, I'll come around. Is there an aisle there next to you, David? Do you know? Okay, I'll meet you in that aisle. He's an art teacher. What sort of art? Are you on the edge of your genre in art? What sort of art do you do, personally?
Personally, I do a lot of drawing and painting, and nothing three-dimensional, not much.
You don't believe in three dimensions?
I don't believe it, no.
You're a two-dimensional kind of guy?
Very two-dimensional.
I've
been told that.
Okay. And your students there, therefore, you teach drawing and painting?
Yeah, well, I am an elementary art teacher, so I have to do everything. So.
Isn't that great, though? They draw. Everyone draws good when they're in elementary school.
They do. They have. Like Picasso said, everyone's an artist. As a child, we just have to make sure you keep it when you grow up. So. Yeah.
And my favorite, actually, is with my daughter, Nora in particular. She's drawn all her life now, but used to draw upside down because they see things, you know, they don't reverse them in their brain or something like that. So she'd do all these drawings, and they're all upside down. And that was so cool. I wonder, at some point, that flips.
Sometimes not.
It doesn't.
No, that's great.
Yeah.
Children's art is wonderful.
Yeah. And then what can I answer for you?
Well, I'm just wondering, when is Trump going to come after you? Because
I hope you
would be the type of person that could respond really well. I mean, you got to get him with humor.
I hope he does. I've been baiting him as much as I can. Because I really need a shot in a career, is what I'm saying.
You would. You'd be on the news for weeks.
Wonderful.
You would be very popular.
Good.
And you already are, of course.
Good. So if you're out there, Donald Trump, and your blue bus tailgating, ha-ha, and your French cuffs, and your fancy gold button blazer. Probably got chains under there, too, is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
More. You need more. You need to.
Well, I don't want to overdo it right now.
Okay. Well, that's it. Thank you. Good to meet you.
Art teachers. I love art teachers because they teach art. And music teachers because they teach music. And owning a candy store. How good would that be? Ryan Midzling-Zing. Huh? Midzling? Middling. Oh, like in Ferrata, Middling.
Yeah. Mittling.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You own a candy store. Everybody's dream. He grew up and he owns a candy store, ladies and gentlemen. In Waukee? Is it in Waukee?
No, Jordan Creek Town Center. It's a tropic zone. We also make popcorn, caramel corn, cheese corn. Yeah. Got bulk candy. You can mix and match.
What was the address again? I didn't get the end.
101 Jordan Creek Parkway.
Yeah. How's business? Going pretty good.
Yeah, you know, the kids are back in school, so we slow down a little bit.
Yeah. Is it like an old-fashioned candy store?
We got your old stuff that you might like.
That's not what I meant! What I meant was, when we used to go to Sherman School in Milwaukee, there was Ruth's Sweet Shop. It's on the same block as our school. Coincidence? I don't think so. So we go there, you know, for wax lips and what have you.
Sure.
Got to buy and fake cigarettes, candy cigarettes and all that.
Those are still popular, yep.
Still got them?
Yeah. And bubble gum, candy cigarettes.
Can they actually chew the fake cigarettes indoors, or they have to go outside?
We just ask them to stand out front.
Yeah. And some of the candies your own, do you make the candies there?
No, we make the popcorn. So it's bulk candy. You can mix and match, get gummies, licorice, whatever you want in your own bag.
Yeah, but where is it again?
It's in Jordan Creek Town Center, lower level between Dillard's and Shields.
Okay. All right. It's probably not open, though, that often, is it?
10 to 9, Monday through Saturday. Sundays, 11 to 6.
All right, well, nice to meet you anyhow.
Yeah, thank you.
He owns a candy store. How great is that? That's about the best thing ever, I think. How are you? Were you taking my picture with that thing?
Yes.
Very clever, though. You had it down here, and I couldn't even tell.
Secret agent.
Fine. Don't steal my metadata, though, because I still don't know what my metadata is, and I'm afraid to find out.
Data about the data.
It can't be good. Time to find out who can and cannot play the quiz. Yes, I'll get you. Come over here, if you would. And that means, of course, the four disclaimers. And with him today is
Roy Heffley from Webster City, Iowa.
Hey, Roy. Okay, I'll give this to you, and I'll get out of your way.
All right. All questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched. Although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. First one to put ketchup on his hash browns gets my vote.
Ketchup.
Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phone.
Uh-oh, you can't say that on the radio.
Or whatever. I don't know.
All opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Well done. Thank you. Oh, I like that one. That was a good version of that. That was, hi.
I am blind, and I'm a Democrat, and I was wondering why you didn't mention Martin O'Malley.
Oh, okay.
As a...
Can't mention everybody, you know.
I just wanted to let you know.
It's hard to insult because I don't know that much about him.
Well, he is governor of Milwaukee, so he has a lot of executive experience.
Maryland, isn't it?
Maryland. I'm sorry. You're from Milwaukee.
I'm from Milwaukee. I'm not governor of Milwaukee.
Thank goodness.
Sorry. All right, we mentioned him, though. Martin O'Malley. Good man.
Yeah, very good man. Yeah. He's very conservative. He has a lot of executive experience. He's raised the education level in Milwaukee. He's a graduate of Gonzaga. He's very, very connected.
Good,
yes, good person.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. And your name is?
Elsie from Des Moines.
Elsie from Des Moines backs O'Malley from Maryland. Thank you, dear. All right, now, who wants to play the quiz now? All right, now you leaped up, so I like that, the guy. Yeah, come on, you were a leaper. Just like them fish when them those currents come, and you leaped or leapt, I don't know. And your name is?
Eric Schultz.
Eric, how are you?
I'm great. I'm awesome. I'm really excited to be here.
I know, it's a little weird.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I just bought a ticket, I drove down here, and all of a sudden I'm here.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Isn't that funny how that way that works?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Eric, did you say?
Yes, Eric.
Give me one good reason, Eric, you should play this quiz.
Well, I had to text my dad this morning to find out for sure, but he says I've been listening to the show for almost 30 years.
Like 25 years old.
I'm 34 years old.
Holy cow. Okay, come on, Eric. That's got to be worth something. Holy cow. So you've been listening since you were -4 or something like that. That's really amazing. So even before embryonic stage, Eric was listening.
I'm 34.
Oh, yeah, did you? Okay.
34.
I'm sorry, a little
34.
Hard of hearing.
Yep. 34
one ear.
Minus 34.
Okay, hang on. All right, let's see. And where is this? Where were you listening? Where are you from?
I am from Glen Ellyn, Illinois, originally.
Glen Ellyn?
Yep. Started listening, I guess, in Darien, Illinois, and then we moved to Glen Ellyn.
Yeah.
My parents are listening in Glen Ellyn right now.
They are. What are you doing here in Iowa?
I live in Ankeny, and I work.
Oh, you? Okay, cool.
Yeah, and I work for a company that makes some green tractors, but I don't really want to, you know, give them any undue publicity.
No. What,
I can't confirm or deny that. I heard something from the audience.
What's your best seller there in the green tractor line?
Probably the big ones.
The big ones, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do they run like, I wonder?
A fast animal that we also like to shoot out here in Iowa. But
okay.
I just don't want to say too much, otherwise I might get in trouble from our publicity department.
Or yeah, or someone could go out and actually shoot and gut a tractor, and that would be a horrible, horrible waste of a nice piece of machinery. And what do you do for them exactly?
I'm a program manager, so basically I try to herd some cats until a new product comes out.
Okay.
Project management, you know how it goes.
Or herding cats, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what we call it.
Yeah, that makes sense to me, too. And a family man as well?
Yep. Our two kids are at home with a babysitter.
Oh, cool. All right, good. So they're taken care of. And you just sort of ran out of the door and you bought a ticket, or is that what happened?
Oh, no, once I saw you were coming to Des Moines, I knew I had to come. I mean, I've been listening for so long, and you know, I was just excited to do it.
Yeah. So it's a real thrill to meet me?
Yeah, no, it definitely is, yeah.
It's a thrill to meet me? Yeah, there's a greeting. It's a thrill to meet me. Well,
yeah.
It's a thrill to meet me.
Yeah, no, it's
and
great.
And you too, Eric. Yeah. That's very nice of you, actually. Maybe did you have to listen as a kid? Because a lot of kids are forced
well,
to.
Yeah, I mean, like, I say that I've been listening since I was four, but obviously my dad was listening and I was in the same room, so I didn't really have a choice. But, you know, just like anything that you're exposed to over and over, it kind of grows on you, I guess.
Either that or you hate it, or you hate it and you want to destroy it. You know? Well, Eric, thanks very much for the compliments and for coming here and being here and playing the quiz. And we have, people work together, don't they, Stephanie, on our quiz?
They do, indeed.
How does it work? What are the basics? What's the basic?
Sure. So if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone and dial 515-280-3817 and answer this qualifying question.
Does that spell anything?
I did not check to see if it does.
Stephanie, you got to see if it spells something. There are programs that do that, actually. It'll take all those numbers. And, but we haven't told her about it yet. I think her sweat
it's on the
out.
Internet.
Yeah, on the internet. Okay, so there are seven times as many hogs as Iowans, well-known fact. But how many more chickens are there than Iowans is the question. How many times more chickens?
Before or after the bird flu?
Oh, God. That ruins this whole question. In the best of times, how many more chickens are there than Iowans? Well, thank you, God, it was the chickens and not the Iowans that were, you know, part of the equation that we're worried about here. So let's go to Alex. So how many more times? Seven times more hogs. And it used to be, anyhow, a lot of chickens. God, I wish I would have thought of that. I mean, Alex Taylor is in Coralville, Iowa. You would know that, wouldn't you, Alex?
Well, I could certainly give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a shot.
You know, how about 17 times more?
Oh, that's, I have 18 here. Now it's down to 17 at least. So, yes, exactly. Fabulous, Alex. Thank you for a very difficult situation. Relieved. Alex, what do you do out there in Coralville?
Well, I make and distribute gourmet dog biscuits.
Gourmet dog biscuits. I have a gourmet dog, so that's perfect.
I think they get along well, then.
What is gourmet about your biscuit?
Human-grade ingredients. And we can
There's humans in your biscuits?
No. Yeah, biscuit flus. No, human-grade ingredients. So I can go to your kitchen and make the best dog biscuits made in America for you.
That you go to people's kitchens and make dog biscuits in them for them?
Well, in our kitchen, we make the biscuits, or our shop, basically.
You have a shop there? But I mean, what goes in there? Like pork chops? Good.
No, no, that wouldn't be kosher then.
These are gourmet kosher dog biscuits?
We don't use any pork products. We use, flour and oats, the same flour and oats that would exist in your kitchen.
Okay.
And they're edible by humans.
Okay, and they're called?
Woofables.
Woofles?
Woofables.
Woofables. Well, that's
Woofables, gourmet dog biscuits.
But I bet I couldn't find those anywhere, could I?
You sure can. We're in 180 locations in 38 states. Absolutely. We're
Holy, you're doing good.
Company.
Out of your kitchen.
Yeah, for dog biscuits, it's not bad.
Woofables. I guess I'll have to look for those on my grocer's shelves.
Absolutely.
At my pet food store. Okay, all right. Alex, Eric, you are a team right now. Eric, this is Eric.
Hey, Alex,
Eric,
how you doing?
Nice to meet you.
And he's in a certain tractor that's green.
I like it. Right.
Yeah, and you're in Woofables. And we work as a team right now. We have various categories, don't we, Stephanie?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Alex, pick first one. What would you like?
Ooh. Well, Eric, let's just start with science and see where it goes.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. 500 million years ago, what ruled the Iowa Ocean? It was a big ocean here. Was it A, 20-foot-long minnows? B, seahorses 12 hands high? Or C, 6-foot giant sea scorpions?
Wow.
Eric?
These are all good answers.
You know, over the years I've learned you should rely on the audience, but I don't know if the audience even knows this one.
I heard them grumbling about, bird flu.
I'm hearing a lot of C.
Shh.
Yes, he might be. I'm more inclined to that. I mean, when I look at the
all right, enough. Six-foot giant sea scorpions. Yes, 5'7". Same height as Tom Cruise. But sea scorpions. Right. Holy cow. That's all right.
That would be...
That's one right, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, and odds and ends.
Okay. Eric?
I think with the political spectrum right now, I better go with things I should have learned in school to avoid the current events.
Okay.
Ooh, good.
What is cornhole?
Oh, I know that. It's a beanbag game that you play with boards and holes in them, and you throw the beanbags.
Yeah.
Alex, you agree?
Alex?
I would, you know, I've played cornhole before. That's what we call it.
Yep, goes by many names.
You call cornhole cornhole? All right, it must be then. That would be right. Okay. Right. My thing is coming apart here. Okay.
That's two right, zero wrong, and the remaining categories are current events, people, places, and odds and ends.
Okay, Alex, back to you.
Ooh, you herded cats, right?
Yep.
Let's go with odds and ends, then.
Odds and ends.
Risky.
All right, decipher the following phrase for me. We all use night crawlers anymore.
Decipher?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Oh, it sounds like
let's say you're in Iowa and someone says, we all use night crawlers anymore.
Well, that's what I would use if I go fishing. How about you, Eric?
No, but I mean the anymore part.
Hmm.
Does that mean they do or they don't?
I would say it means that they do, but...
I would say they use night crawlers all the time, anymore. Yeah, they currently do.
So anymore means what? All the time?
All the time.
That's what I would say.
Okay. I guess that's right, then. I have no idea. It doesn't make any sense to me. But they use night crawlers all the time!
All right.
Eric, you and several friends will be heading to the Science Center of Iowa for an experience that has been engaging and inspiring Iowans along their journey of lifelong science learning in downtown Des Moines since 2005. Then take out your frustrations using a Drake Bulldog mascot stress ball, keep hydrated with a Drake water bottle, wear a pair of Drake Relays socks, and carry your stuff in a reusable Drake University tote bag. Alex, you've won a joining of love for Iowa with craft beer and a large growler from Confluence Brewing Company, located just south of Grays Lake in Des Moines, along with a gift certificate, t-shirt, and a tote bag. And then read the book, The Midwest, God's Gift to Planet Earth, while listening to the warm analog sounds on Real Vinyl Records, along with a plethora of stickers, magnets, and postcards from Ray Gunn T-Shirt Shop, creating stuff that makes people laugh since 2005. Congratulations to both of you.
Wow, thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, man.
Yep, thank you.
Looking to keep the laughs going? Click over to NotMuch. Click over to NotMuch.com. You can join our Facebook family, keep up with Michael's tweets, and play our online quiz. It's all available all the time at NotMuch.com. Stick around. There's plenty of more Iowa fun ahead. In the next hour, we welcome singer-songwriter Lizzie. Plus, we monopolize another round of the What Do You Know quiz. That's all coming up when we return. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International. Welcome back to an encore presentation of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, Tim Crumley on drums, and I'm Stephanie Lee. In this hour of What Do You Know, we're back to Des Moines for a soulful performance from singer-songwriter Lizzie. Plus, hangover-free vodka and a caretaking round of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man with the not much super pack, it's Michael Feldman!
The money's pouring in, but not much. Super PAC. And for no reason, I'm not running. No, I don't see why I would. I'm very excited to have Lissy with us right now. She is a singer-songwriter, and she's had tremendous success. You were actually in L.A. for a number of years, right?
I was in L.A. for 5, and then I was in a town called Ojai for the last 6.
In Ojai, yeah. That's out there, too. It's like an artist colony sort of.
Yeah, it's like a hippy-dippy town in California. Yeah.
But you're an Iowan at heart?
Well, I'm from the Quad Cities, so I'm actually from the Illinois side of the Mississippi, Rock Island, Illinois, but spent a lot of time in Iowa growing up and just moved to, like, Winnesheek County up northeast Iowa.
Yeah. Would you say the Midwest and Iowa affect your songwriting? They have an impact on what
you
write about?
Definitely. I wrote a song about the Mississippi River, and, even though I've been gone for 14 years, I, you know, feel like I'm a Midwesterner when I go out in the world. So,
was Los Angeles not for you in terms of?
Well, no, not really. I like nature and space, and it was fun. It was really fun. It's a good place to live if you're in your early 20s. But I really just went there to try to quote unquote make it, and was able to get like a record deal. And once I kind of got that figured out, I left. So.
Good timing. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Now the last album is called Back to Forever. The new one you said is coming out.
I'm an independent artist, and so I have my own label, I guess, called Lion Boy Records, and I'll be distributed through an indie label in the U.S. And it's my new record is called My Wild West. It comes out hopefully in January.
Sounds great. Is this on it?
I could play the new one first, and then I'll play
whatever,
an old
whatever
one.
You want. I don't mean to influence whatever you want.
Well, this song, actually, when I decided I was going to move back to the Midwest and leave Ojai, it was like a bittersweet decision, so I wrote a song for Ojai. It's called Ojai. I'll play that one.
Lissy, amazing, ladies and gentlemen.
I got a feeling like I'm almost there, and I think I might belong somewhere. As I cut these ties, I realize been disbelieving in my own heart, and the deceiving is the hardest part. And I feel the knowing that I must be going or high. I don't want to leave you behind, but you know that I made up my mind, so goodbye. I know I'm gonna see you again, and I'll be thinking of you until then. Oh, hi. I miss the seasons, I miss the land, I miss them for reasons I don't understand. I took it all for granted, bloom where I was planted. Oh, I don't want to leave you behind, but you know that I made up my mind, so goodbye. I know I'm gonna see you again, and I'll be thinking of you until then. Oh, hi.
I'm
Thank you.
Beautiful. That was beautiful. And if you would have been Iowa instead of Ojai, it would have been perfect. Yeah. Oh, that was gorgeous. When did you first realize you could rear back and sing like that? Was it...
From a pretty young age. Really? I always had like a loud, raspy, big voice and, you know, was singing as early as I can remember. I was Annie when I was 9. You know, yeah. And
that
dinner
was
theater.
Your breakthrough was Annie?
I don't know. When I was like 5, I did the whole dance troupe kind of performance thing. So my mom always said I really, you know, I loved performing and I loved singing for people when they come over. So
born to it.
Yeah. And my grandfather was actually an international barbershop quartet champion. He was always kind of singing and doing stuff that, you know, so I was exposed to music.
So that's the gene then from
him. I think so.
Yeah. Does it skip generations? Your parents didn't sing?
No, everyone in my family actually has a pretty nice singing voice. But I, you know, my sister is a great singer, but I, you know, she didn't really love performing as much as I did. So
yeah.
I always knew it's what I wanted to do.
Fantastic. I love it.
Thank you.
Every time I try and do something like that, it comes out horrible.
I doubt that.
It's really an amazing thing that we can sing like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm there's a lot of things I'm not very good at, so... There's no backup plan, so this is good that it worked out.
That's great. Can you do another one
for
us?
Yeah, I'll do another one. This is an older song of mine, but one of my favorites. It's called Everywhere I Go.
And I fall on my knees. Tell me how's the way to be. Tell me how's the way to go. Tell me all that I should know. And I'll fall on my knees. Tell me how's the way to go. Tell me how's the way to be. To evoke some empathy. And danger will follow me now everywhere I go. And angels will call on me and take me to my home. Well, this tired mind just wants to be led home. And I'll fall on my knees. Tell me how's the way to go. Oh, yeah. Tell me how's the way to see. Show me all that I could be. And I'll fall on my knees. And tell me how's the way to be. Yeah. Tell me how's the way to go. Tell me why I feel so low. And Thank you so much.
Let's see. Thank you so much for doing that. That was great.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me. I'm enjoying myself.
So. I got goosebumps all over.
Oh.
Have you got? Let's do it. We weren't planning just to do two, but you want to do another one? If you feel like it.
Sure. I could play "Oh Mississippi," actually, that I wrote about.
Yeah. You don't mind, do you?
Thank you. All right. I actually, just a little anecdote. I did 3 days of Frag Bri this year, and it was really cool. But I actually ended up damaging a nerve in my hand and couldn't play the guitar for a month, so.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's the downside.
That's the downside. Well, now I know that that's something that can happen. But it was beautiful. I was just gorgeous. And so now I can play the guitar again. So it all worked out.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
We're back. All right. We are back here, and things are just hopping. There's so much to do. I'm looking forward. In a little while, we'll be sampling the world's purest vodka. Made by an actual engineering professor. I guess you can take vodka as a course at State, huh? Is there a course offering? Advanced vodka? Intermediate vodka?
I'm thinking about going back to school, actually.
I know. That's a certain beginner's vodka. I can't wait to see it. I we might be sampling some of it, so that's when I will call on you, John.
Okay.
At that point.
I'm available.
Yeah. Until then, might you feel like playing a little band number
yeah.
here?
Yeah. This is a tune I wrote. It's called Chance Encounter.
Okay. Sounds good. Song that's yours. Did you get the copyright on that and everything?
Yeah.
Because that's going to get stolen.
Oh, no. Once you play it, it's already copyrighted.
Oh, yeah, that's what you think. Who that's told you that one?
I don't know. I don't really understand the whole copyright thing.
Oh, yeah, sure. I don't know. You're a piano player, but you're not a lawyer. Let's face it. I would definitely get it on paper. I was already over here. I don't see people in this aisle here, and I didn't feel like I should stop and say hello. Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
What brings you here?
My husband in the car.
Your husband in the car?
Yep.
Are you the fan, or is your husband the fan?
My husband's the fan.
Yeah, yeah. You're not so much.
I like it.
No, I know you like it. I don't mean that you don't like it.
He listens to public radio all the time.
Don't you have any other things you want to be doing?
It works real well when I'm out walking in the mornings.
You listen to while you're walking in the morning.
Yep, and when we travel as well.
You travel, not all the time.
Well, no, but there's not a whole lot less going on in our life other than walking and traveling.
Okay, and your name is?
I'm Fred.
Fred and
Susan.
Fred and Susan, ladies and gentlemen, another public radio couple. And she likes it pretty much, too. All right, that's good. Let's see, my dog is a direct descendant of George Washington's foxhound. That's pretty cool. How do you know that, though? It's just what the dog says. Who is that? I don't know. It's unsigned.
I read it on the internet.
Your dog read it on the internet, or you did?
Well, I helped him.
All right, wait a second. Can you come down to this aisle here? All right, that aisle there is fine. Actually, that aisle's a lot shorter for you to come down to. So what can tell us about this dog.
Well, we found this dog at a party. He kind of found us, and poor thing was starved and tick-ridden, and he was a foxhound, so we had to take him home. And
George Washington's descendant dogs are tick-ridden?
And see, it was the picture, the painting there that inspired me, because there's foxhounds in that painting, and Scout is our foxhound. And I read it on the internet that he's a direct descendant, because we have English foxhounds and American foxhounds.
All right. How do they know it's your dog that they're talking about?
Because he's clearly, because there were people at the party who did fox hunting in Iowa.
Was there a lot of drinking going on at this party?
Alcohol was involved.
All right. And so you leave the party with this mangy foxhound that you now believe was George Washington's descendant, somehow, of dogs.
His dogs,
not him personally.
Yeah.
And any way you can verify this? Can you do a little...
Well, he looks just like the foxhounds in the painting.
Okay.
Okay.
Don't ask me to buy him, though, because I'm not going to fall for this.
No, he's our sweet...
He's your sweet dog,
are
they?
He has no personality, but because he's a hunter, but we love him.
Okay. Well, you know, it's been really interesting talking to you.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. And I'd love to see your dog. I mean, I bet it's a sweet dog. Do you believe any of that?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Are you a believer by nature, or what?
She looks believable.
Yeah. But, I mean, how would you, any way you could test that? Do you know anything about dogs?
I'd have to guess real hard.
Okay, all right, I'll just try and do a reality check here, and you didn't help at all. Osceola, McCormick, Eric, is that right?
Even.
I'm sorry. Okay, he's a seventh grader, right?
Yes.
At Clark Middle School, is that you? Where are you? How are you?
He is temporarily out of the room.
Oh, is that... Should I look for him? Does he think he's all right? Because he's just like 12 years old or something, isn't he? He's what? He's in the men's room upstairs. I don't want to go in there after him. Did you see a young boy go up to the men's room? Yeah, did he look fine? Okay. Let me know when he comes back down, will you? Would you just stick your head? Okay. Stick your head in there. Okay. I'll save your... Yeah, I'm... What?
And then if you would, you can say, your mother always told you this would happen.
Did you?
Yes! Well,
does he usually take this... take this long?
Never know what you'll miss.
Does he usually take this long? How long has he been in it?
Well, That wouldn't be fair.
There he is. This is your life. Congratulations, you won $100,000.
Okay.
Now your job is to try to collect it.
How do I collect it?
There's no way you're going to get $100,000. How are you? Your name is?
McCormick.
McCormick. And everything okay up there?
Yeah.
Okay. Your mother told you this was going to happen, didn't she?
Yeah.
I mean, 2 hours is a long time to sit through anything, let alone this.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you're not a fan. Are you a fan of this show?
Kind of.
Kind of. Yeah, me too, kind of, as I think about it. You're at Clark Middle School. How's that going?
Good.
Yeah. Anything you like there now, sports or studies?
I really like lunch.
Do they have a good hot lunch program there at Clark?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They have really good lunches.
Yeah. And are they cheap?
Semi-cheap.
Semi-cheap?
They're not horrible, but I mean...
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
How much does it cost at lunch there?
Like $260 for lunch.
For a full lunch with several courses?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
And dessert, too?
Not a dessert, but you can get a salad. And there's a la carte where you can get, like, cookies and cakes and stuff.
Okay. What is the when they have this, you really love it, what's that dish?
Lasagna and crispitos.
Do you like, and that's the only thing you like at school, though? That's a little disturbing.
No, I also like my math, because I'm taking a high school math class right now.
Cool. So like advanced math.
Yeah.
And what are you on now? Are you on, is that quadratics, or what are you on right now?
We're doing solving systems of equations using matrices.
Damn. You know, that's exactly where at the point where I could no longer help my daughter with her homework. That's exactly what my reaction was when she told me, "Well, we got Dad. Can you help me with systems of whatever it was using matrices or whatever?"
Yeah.
Whatever the plural is that you use.
Matrices.
Yes. Is that hard? It's good. It's easy for you because you're good at it, right?
Yeah, and we have graphing calculators, so it's a lot easier. Okay.
When I bought her that, I was out of the game. I remember, Dad, I need a graphing calculator. A what? Okay. Well, congratulations, and you're a great kid, and nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. I'll get back and stay here in case something else happens. As your mother told you, always listen to your mother, no matter what she says. And just nod your head, and you'll be fine. You know, that's how it works. We got a retired police chief here. Kim Wobbing, is that my feedback there? Yes. What? Hey. Oh, hey. Okay, I'll meet you in that aisle. All right, get on that way. You still tend to pull people over even though you're not working anymore?
It's a habit hard to break. It really is hard
to break. It is.
It is.
You can still make citizens arrest, couldn't you?
Oh, certainly. And you can, too.
I could, too, yeah. If I see you, I'm going to pull you over just for a joke.
Big joke.
What are you driving these days?
I'm just driving a Toyota pickup. Okay. It doesn't look like a police car at all. But
I'll cut you off. I'll put on my four ways and cut you off. It has to see your permit.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
We need a few good citizens like you.
Yeah. How long did you do that racket?
I did Altoona. 31 years.
In Altoona, huh?
No, I actually was in Dubuque. I was the police chief up in Dubuque.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know Dubuque. The gateway to Wisconsin?
Yeah. Well, it depends which way you're facing.
True enough.
And, the meatpacking plant on the hill.
The meatpacking plant on the hill, yeah.
Beautiful Dubuque. It is actually a nice town.
It is.
And then what do you do now? I mean, a good retirement?
I went back to work. I now teach at the Law Enforcement Academy.
You do?
Yes. I pass that along. Pay it forward.
We need good men at the Law Enforcement Academy.
We certainly do. Yeah. Are you interested?
In law enforcement?
You bet.
Only when I have to be. You know.
Fair enough.
I could explain. I was not texting. I was simply trying to find my phone when it was ringing and went off the road as a result.
Then you're the exception to the rule, let me tell you.
I don't do that.
You don't text?
No, I can't do two things of anything at once. I can't multitask.
Well, join the rest of us.
Yeah.
It still bugs me. I see people on the phone and driving, and you know they're looking at the imaginary person on their phone, you know, and meanwhile they're driving this vehicle down it.
That's exactly right. Yeah. That's exactly right. It hurts a lot.
Tell them in law enforcement, is that the first
all the time. We talk about it all the time. Yeah. Yeah. We get a lot of people who just will not put the phones down when they drive. Yeah.
And where is this law enforcement class?
Just up north of here at Camp Dodge.
Yeah.
We're on the facility of the military base. And
like Police Academy, a lot of funny stuff happens.
Right. Exactly right. Exactly right. Just like the movie. It's just exactly like the movie.
Cool. And when you graduate, do you get a uniform and everything?
You bet. You bet. We better put a badge on. And it's really real.
And let's be cops, right?
Let's be cops.
Very nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, too.
That's Kim Wabing, police chief. Retired. I guess you're never retired if you're police chief. Oh, and Judy Wadding, that's your wife? And she's a pastor. So we have a pastor and a police chief. There's like a situation comedy that we could, you know. Did you ever think of that, selling your story to Hollywood?
We can do that.
Pastor and the police chief.
We can do that. Yeah. People felt sorry for our kids growing up. Yeah. I said, huh, no, it's all good.
No. Yeah, really. What could happen? Your dad's a police chief, your mom's a pastor.
We
really.
Got you covered.
No pressure there. Do we have, is this like a group of pastors and
our friends are pastors.
Yeah. What's going on here? I'm attracting pastors.
Yeah.
I need help. It's very kind of you, really, because I'm not, you know, I'm a fallen away Jew.
I actually am a religion scholar as opposed to a pastor, but my wife is a pastor.
You could be Jewish.
I could be. I've been
very
told.
Much like Rabbi Twersky.
Thank you.
That's a compliment.
Thank you.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Pastor. I'm Julie Polson. Yeah.
Okay. I'm surrounded by pastors. I don't know. I'm gratified and a little scared. But thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here.
Thank you.
Pastor and the police chief, ladies and gentlemen, this fall on Fox. I think that'd be a great idea. Well, you go back to your seats there now. I'm sorry. More religion scholars. Dennis Fox, religion. Oh, yeah, there's Julie. Why is there evil? Yeah. Oh, that's so we can have clergymen. No evil, you don't need clergy. Let's face it. It's a living. You look thinner than you do on radio. Thank you very much, I guess. Randy Fowler. Where are you, Randy? Randy? Hey, Randy.
Yeah, I'm Randy, but she wrote the question.
Oh, she ran. Well, which one of you wrote the question? He told you to write the question? Did he give you the wording and everything? Okay, well, then I guess you wrote the question. Randy, thank you for noticing. If I wasn't a stress eater, I'd have no weight at all. You know? Thank you. You can laugh at that.
Okay.
I wasn't going to stop. But really, all I do is stress eat. It was just, if I'm not stressed, I don't eat it. I eat like a bird. I peck at it. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes.
Are you a stress eater?
Yes, I like the refrigerated door. You know, it works out.
And are you always under stress like I am?
Frequently, yeah.
So you're always eating. You know, it's a vicious circle. And then, so what are you doing these days?
Not much.
Nope.
Some days I get done early.
Well, what field were you trained in or for?
I taught for 40 years.
You did? What did you teach for 40 years?
Middle school, sixth grade.
Sixth grade is a good grade.
It's kind of a transitional grade.
Yeah. Yeah. Seventh grade, they're lost.
Well, they think they're finding themselves, but
it's where they find themselves is the problem.
That's the problem.
What did you teach, subject-wise?
Just about everything.
Everything.
Yeah, one time or another.
Yeah.
Depended on the assignment.
What was your strongest subject?
I love science and math.
Your weakest?
My memory.
So the kids didn't show up for your memory class, I suppose.
No, we didn't. No.
You never knew. Okay. And your name is?
Brian.
Brian. How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Are you from town here?
No, I'm from near Prairie du Chien. Do you know where that's at?
Yeah, Prairie du Chien in Wisconsin.
I'm up in Iowa, near Winnesheet County, where that gal's from.
Yeah, so. Cool. Well, brother. All right, here we got. See anything else here? Quick here. Back to the candy store. way through these. Do you have to shower, even though it is radio? I don't think I'll even answer that one. Where do babies come from? I guess. That's you?
Yeah.
You're a quality engineer. You don't know where babies come from? All right, wait a minute. This apparently is important. I'm coming. Hold on. What is a quality engineer, really, is the question, I think. Babies come from, it's their business where they come from. I don't interrogate babies asking where they came from. I don't see why. Even foxhounds have the right to a little privacy. How are you?
Good.
What sort of quality engineering do you do?
Problem solving, troubleshooting, continuous improvement.
Don't give me all these euphemisms. I mean, what exactly do you do?
I help customers figure out their problems.
Oh, okay. And what business is it?
Metals industry.
Oh, the metals industry. So if I have a problem with a certain metal?
Copper.
Let's say copper. If it's iron, I go to somebody else, right?
Correct.
You don't do iron?
No.
You do copper, you do brass, that's it?
Yes.
Molybdenum?
It's part of our impurity elements in some of our alloys.
I was thinking that myself. Okay, so that's good. And what is the business of the industry?
We make copper alloy strip product that gets used in a lot of different applications.
Yeah.
So if you have change in your pocket, 50% of it, with the exception of the penny, is made right here in Iowa, Cedar Rapids.
Did you know that? I don't have any change. Do you have any change? Can I
spend those golden dollars? You're helping the local economy.
Yeah. But what's the name of the company then that does it?
PMX Industries.
PMX makes our change, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you. And the baby thing, what's the problem?
I haven't figured it out after three kids.
Three kids, you still don't know where babies come from?
No, I haven't figured that one out.
Well, counseling, we have a bunch of pastors here who'll be happy to go through all the groundwork for you.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to say I'm here because it's my wife's birthday today.
Hi, dear. Happy birthday. And your name is?
Kathy.
Happy birthday. Is this all you're getting for your birthday?
Well, by the time you get here from Cedar Rapids, buy six tickets, stay in a hotel, eat at three different restaurants. Yeah, this is all I'm getting for my birthday.
Let's give you some more then. Let's give her things. We can give you things. We'll give you things. Give her things.
Sure.
Stephanie.
Does a cheese plate sound good to you? A cheese plate? Cheese plate from the Jasper Winery located near downtown Des Moines. Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. Is that good? She'll be thirsty. She says she'll be thirsty.
Oh, thirsty. I don't think I have any wine to give away.
No, we also have beer. Do we have beer or anything?
I can give her a book. Would you like a book? Well, yeah. I can give you the book, The Midwest God's Gift to Planet Earth from Ray Gunn.
Yeah. All right. That and a beer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Congratulations. Okay, let's play the quiz now because I know you're itching to do it. I know you were thinking, what? You think you can just, because I'm passing by you, you can just stick your hand out and I'm going to stop?
I was taking a chance.
All right, well, let's just see if you qualify and exactly. Because I don't want to show favoritism just because I was happened to be passing by your row.
Hello.
You are?
Sherry Borzo.
Sherry?
Yes.
And, I talked to him before, didn't I?
It's my spouse.
Your spouse? Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. It could be worse. It could be your husband. Sherry, give me a good reason why you should play this quiz.
I had a really good idea. I am not a political candidate running for president.
All right. Come on. That's somewhat a crowd pleaser. Careful coming up here, because we're not insured. And watch out for these chords for the same reason. And have a seat there if you would, Sherry. Make yourself to home. All right. It's supposed to end right when I hit the seat, John.
Oh, sorry.
I like that part of the show the best. So, Sherry, what are you doing these days?
I am a personal historian.
A personal historian.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be a historian of personals.
Yes.
of persons.
Peoples.
So you, if I want to know what my history is?
So I don't do ancestry. That's not my thing.
No.
What I do is I interview people, like you do.
Okay.
Except that they don't have to be on a radio show to do it. But
right.
I interview them, and then I take the things that they tell me, and we turn it into a book, usually.
Uh-huh. Okay. is this an expensive process, if I wanted to have a book?
It takes some time.
Here is Michael.
Yeah, it takes some time. Usually there's quite a number of interviews to go through.
Yeah, cool. Very cool. And what's that called, that whole deal, process?
My business is called Storied Gifts.
Storied Gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that'd be hard to find that, though, wouldn't it?
No, actually, it's at storiedgifts.com.
Oh. It's on the internet, then?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right. If you'll find it. So this is a general knowledge quiz, as you know, play with someone else. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Yes.
You're liking Iowa, huh?
Yes, Iowa. Very charming.
Isn't Des Moines cool? It's charming, but Des Moines has actually became a cool city in a couple of years since we haven't been here. It's a happening town. Not really. It looks good. There's a lot of... it's great. Great downtown.
It's hip, I have to say. It's
very
pretty
hip. Trey hip. So if someone wants to play the quiz now, what do they do?
They are going to pick up the phone and dial 515-280-3817 and answer this qualifying question.
Okay, this one, most people around here probably would know this, and hopefully you're around here and would know this. Who was that older, dapper butter sculpture this year at the State Fair, the Iowa State Fair? There was a butter... What? What are you mumbling? Was something I did? What? Was there a horrible accident with the butter sculpture this year and melted and people were drowned in butter? What? Hey, come on. Now, I didn't ask you. Someone out there has got to answer that. The butters. I want to know who the butter sculpture was this year, a dapper older gentleman at the State Fair. Let's go to the phone right now. It's ringing off the hook. Here's Michael from... Iowa City. Hey, Michael.
Hello there.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Did you get to the State Fair this year?
No. I've only been to the State Fair twice, and I saw the buttered cow, but it's been a long time ago.
Yeah. Okay. In addition to the cow, well, I'm sure they still have the cow, right?
I think so.
They had this gentleman who was an older, dapper fellow in a top hat, butter top hat. He always appears to be running and has a money bag, usually. Running with a money bag.
Like Uncle Sam?
Hey, if that's your version of Uncle Sam, I don't think I want to talk to you anymore.
I'm trying to think who it is. I wish my doctor was here. He goes every year and he could tell me.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, gotta go. Bye. Sorry, nice talk. David, Springfield, Missouri. David, you go to the fair?
I did not know.
No. Yeah. So you don't know who this is, right?
Well, I might have an idea.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, it melted into an image of the Virgin Mary.
I was talking to you. Okay. In a top hat with a money bag. It has to be the Virgin Mary. I don't think I can go on. I'm sorry. I have to. With all these ministers around here, you got to hear that. Lori in La Crosse, do you know what that was? No, of course not. Okay. Anyone else out there who might not know who the... I should just give it to him for the Virgin Mary because it was a good idea, and it really should be next year, I think. Those phones. What's that number again?
That number is 515-280-3817.
Okay. That's the number to call. And then when you call, then we'll put you on here, and you get to say who that was, that dapper fellow that we've all seen if we played a certain game. But this time he was in butter. That's what we were talking about here. Oh, here's on the phone now, Michael. Hey, Michael? No, he's gone. Hey, Michael?
Yes?
Is this the same Michael?
It is the same Michael.
You're tenacious, Michael.
I didn't know. I thought I'd just keep trying calling.
Okay. So what do you think now?
Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think of somebody exciting like Abe Lincoln with a top hat. I'm not sure who else would have top hats in Iowa.
Let me ask you this, Michael. Did you ever play Monopoly?
Yes.
Okay.
But I can't remember what that guy's name was.
Oh, you don't have to remember the name, but who was the guy?
I don't know. I'm going to have to get me the Monopoly set out. I'm not sure.
We don't really have time for that.
I know. Do you have any suggestions?
But what you're saying, Michael, is you think it's the guy from the Monopoly game, that rich guy who's on the community chess cards or whatever.
Exactly.
The chance cards, one of those cards.
Yeah, like, you know, for United Way or something.
Okay, we can accept that because we're desperate. And because you're tenacious, Michael.
Yeah, that's the Iowa spirit.
That's the Iowa spirit. Okay.
Yep.
And Michael, what do you do here in Iowa?
I'm a funeral director. So
how wonderful for you.
I could have been an undertaker, but it wasn't.
You know, I kind of hope you're my undertaker, because I think it would be great for you to handle things. At least there'd be a little humor involved.
Yeah.
Okay. Michael, this is Sherry. You're a team.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Sherry.
Okay, good. Intros are passed. Let's take it to the first round.
The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay. Michael, what would you like?
I'm current events.
Current events. Right out of the news, maybe not. Who's ahead in the corn-soybeans race? This is race to maturity. Okay, is it corn, soybeans, or pretty much of a dead heat?
Wow. And I'm in Iowa. I feel terrible. Let's say corn.
Soybeans or dead heat? Or the other two?
I have to select one, right? Correct?
Correct. Never stopped you before, Michael.
I know. So let's do corn.
Or soybeans or dead heat. Dead heat.
Or soybeans. How about dead heat?
For example, if they both were like 3 days ahead of last year, then it would be a dead heat.
Okay, dead heat.
Dead heat.
Dead heat is right. Yeah. Okay. 3 days ahead, so that's good.
It's hard to be on the phone doing this.
Yeah, I know it is. It's very hard for me, too.
That's one right, and the remaining categories are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Jerry?
Things you should have learned in school.
Okay. What is can jam? Oh. Can jam. An oriental ruler. When your can gets jammed. Or another one of these games they play in Iowa. And nowhere else.
What do you think, Sherry?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I kind of like the third one, but I don't know why.
Were there choices?
You should listen to the show once in a while. Those
were the choices you were giving me?
I guess I was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Could you give me the last choice?
The last one was one of these games that they play in Iowa and nowhere else.
I'm going to go with that.
Michael, you too?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay, I guess it is, because I never heard of it anywhere else. And then...
That's 2 right, 0 wrong, and the remaining categories are people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, Mr. Undertaker, your turn.
For you, it's Mr. You. How about people?
Do you enjoy your work, Michael? I mean, is it...
You know, I try to put the fun back into it. You're
put
right.
The fun back into it. Oh, that's quite
what
an undertaking, I got to say, putting fun back into it.
Yeah.
General.
So
okay.
Let's do people.
People. Okay, this is kind of survey results or what have you. The number one Google search for people in Iowa. Is it ISIS, according to Jim, or Jock Jams?
What is it? Jock Jams?
Jock Jams. I have no idea what that is, and I'm not going to look it up to find out. ISIS, you know, the terror group. According to Jim, which was a terrible TV show, Jim Belushi. And Jock Jams, which we don't even want to know. I think it's a workout thing.
I almost want to say Jock Jams.
Why do you almost want to say that, Michael? Just like the sound of it?
I don't know why I'd want to look up much about Jim Belushi or ISIS. However, I'll go with Jock James.
Yeah.
Well, sure, Jock James.
What do you think, Sher?
I have no idea, nor do I want to know what Jock James really
okay,
is.
Okay, so then why would anyone look it up?
I'm not a typical Iowan.
Well, who is, really?
But Iowa City, maybe he's in the, you know, he's near a university. Maybe he knows more than I do.
Yeah.
It could be a type of jam made by Smuckers. You know.
Michael, I'm not going to glorify that with a response. Because no one's going to buy Jock Jam.
Yeah, you might be surprised.
It's a horrible idea. Okay. You're so lucky you got a business to fall back on there. Or ISIS.
Or ISIS?
ISIS, which also, by the way, could be the University of Iowa student portal. It's also called ISIS.
Then I say, Sherry, let's go with ISIS.
What?
Are we just waking you up or something? What?
I missed it, but
ISIS is right. Yeah. Congratulations!
Sherry, you'll be taking family and friends back to the farm with passes to Living History Farms, an interactive outdoor museum in ironically named Urbandale, Iowa, providing Midwestern rural life experiences since 1970. And then enjoy a delicious cheese plate along with a pair of water bottles and a pair of coffee mugs from the Jasper Winery, located just minutes from downtown Des Moines. Michael, from the Ray Gunn T-shirt shop, you've won the book, The Spaceman Who Lived in Des Moines, along with a selection of whimsical T-shirts, vinyl records, and a bevy of postcards and coasters from Ray Gunn. Then show your pride in the Fighting Bulldogs with a T-shirt and pennant from Drake University, plus a pair of blue beaded necklaces and an adorable plush stuffed bulldog, all from Drake University, founded in 1881. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you both, Sherry. Congratulations. Michael, hang on. We'll make sure you get that.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for playing. Vodka time! Vodka time! Professor Jay Hans van Leeuwen. The inventor of Ingenioz, the vodka with no impurities. Come out here, doctor, and bring the bottle with you. How are you?
Michael, good to meet you.
Have a seat here. All right, let's look this over now. How did you come up with this discovery of purifying vodka?
Well, you know, driving through the rolling cornfields of Iowa, there must be something better that we can do with this.
Yeah.
Like turning into one of the major food groups.
Yes.
Like vodka.
Yeah.
Right?
Has there been a corn vodka before?
Yeah, we do have something which is called...
Yeah.
It's a name I rather would not say.
Okay, what is it?
Well, you know, it's a very sensitive issue right now of these games.
What?
It's called Hawkeye.
Oh, Hawkeye, okay.
And I'm a cyclone.
And you're a cyclone, okay. Well, let's get over that and let's pour some out here.
All right.
This is it, right?
Right.
Is this one open?
And this is not just any vodka. I mean, this is really pure. It contains no impurities.
Yes. Well, tell me how you happened upon it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a process that I developed with years of research
at
Iowa State University.
Let's line them up here, Professor.
And, all right.
This is our study group. What are you talking about?
And
there's a pop quiz afterwards.
Yeah.
No one cares
if
you get it right or not.
And this is a quiz for credit. I'll let me warn you. So
you got Hurry, to. John is just waiting.
You got to be, answering these questions.
Tell us about what happens to make this.
Well, it's a purification process based on ozone. Now, ozone, of course, is also used in nature to purify water and the air. You know, you all have experience going out there after a rainstorm. For me?
Yeah.
Well, why not?
Why not?
I drink it all the time, so.
Stephanie? Oh, there's Stephanie. Here.
Cheers.
There you go, Stephanie.
So, ozone, you know, you get this really
I think
nice
you're in the ozone,
feeling
frankly,
of the air, right? And that's been purified by ozone that we get from lightning. That's typically what you get.
So how do you have let lightning strike a cornfield and you got vodka?
We have a special machine for that, of
your
course.
Your health, Professor.
Your health, thank you. It's and then it's
Man,
followed
that's
up.
Pure.
Yeah. All right. Basically it's the only vodka on the market with all the impurities removed.
Yeah. So is this like ethanol you can drink?
Well, exactly. You see, the other good product we have, yeah. we have lots of in Iowa is ethanol. But what do people do? They just burn it up.
Burn it
so,
up.
So say, no, no, there must Ooh. Really be something better. As
warms
you can do
you
with
up.
Corn, for Pete's sake.
This warms you up.
Yeah, of course. Right.
Now, do you have a patent on this process?
This is a lot better than pouring it in your tank.
Yes.
Right.
Does
right.
Iowa State now hold the patent on this, or do you hold it personally?
Well, there's no patent. It's just a trade secret. Yeah. I make no secret of how it's done, but no. I never tell anybody.
I still don't quite.
Well,
you
it's
say
ozone,
lightning strikes.
Activated carbon,
yeah.
and then also nano-noble metal filtration.
What? Say that 10 times fast.
Nano-noble metal filtration. So that all that then removes the impurities.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, it makes for a really smooth product.
Yeah.
And you know what's more?
No.
It's also reduces hangovers. Because the impurities contribute to the hangovers.
The impurities
yeah,
are what
yeah,
causes
yeah, yeah.
It's not the liquor.
Yeah, but I told you, but now forget it.
I've maintained
and
that for years.
Don't tell anybody now. I'm not supposed to say this.
Yeah. That's why I only drink clear liquors. But
yeah,
now
right,
you
right.
can only have one that's truly clear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks to you.
Yeah.
What we got here? Oh, some yes. come and go? Because we don't want to drink and not have... What is he got there? Oh, would you like a hot dog? From come and go, we got a...
a hot dog?
Yeah, a bun buster for you there.
Well,
yeah,
great.
Because I didn't want to drink and just not have something
yeah,
to...
Yeah.
Oh, well, look at that.
Oh, man.
How do they get them inside the buns there?
It looks...
These are amazing. I had
looks,
one of these.
It looks like these things that you get on a stick at the fair.
How long has that been in there? I was on the floor of somebody's car.
It's just like this. This is also like vodka on a stick, right?
I better have a little more of this. Well, it's an amazing thing. And it's J. Hans van Leeuwen. And can you take this course now? At Iowa State, can you take your course and learn to make vodka?
Oh, yeah, of course. Vodkology 101.
Vodkology. To Vodkology. And Professor J. Hans van Leeuwen. And to you.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer, with assistance from Chris Myshock, Lyle Anderson, Hannah Poth, Kelly Osborne, and Diana Cook. Technical Director Tom Blaine, with help from Brad Kohlberg and Aubrey Ralph. Special thanks to our guests, Trip Gabriel, Lizzie, and Professor Hans van Leeuwen. This is Stephanie Lee. Hope you'll join us next week for more of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know?
PRI, Public Radio International.